Elizabeth Warren's healthcare plan comes under fire during last night's Democratic debate.
Your signature, Senator, is to have a plan for everything, except this.
And drug distributors are in talks to settle opioid lawsuits.
The idea would be that the three big drug distributors would pay $18 billion over a span of 18 years.
Plus, could we be close to a Brexit deal? This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at our exclusive report about an $18 billion proposal to settle opioid litigation, here's what you missed. Last night's fourth Democratic primary debate, hosted by CNN and the New York Times in Westerville, Ohio, definitely had a bit of a theme.
But I also don't agree with Senator Warren that
Senator Warren is more focused on being punitive.
But I want to give a reality check here to Elizabeth, because no one on this stage wants to protect billionaires. Not even the billionaire wants to protect billionaires.
You can probably guess from that montage that it was Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. She was a target for almost every candidate on stage. South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg was one of the first to place her in the line of attack.
Your signature, Senator, is to have a plan for everything, except this. No plan has been laid out to explain how a multi-trillion dollar hole in this Medicare for All plan that Senator Warren is putting forward is supposed to get filled in.
Former Vice President Joe Biden and Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar also criticized her for her health care plans. But Elizabeth Warren defended her position.
I put out nearly 50 plans on how we can fight back and how we can rebuild an America that works. And a part of that is we've got to stop Americans from going bankrupt over health care.
Senator.
So what does this all mean for the Democratic primary race? Our national politics reporter Josh Jamerson breaks it down.
It means that the candidates are eager to find a contrast with Elizabeth Warren, who's gaining momentum in the Democratic primary in recent weeks and months. If Senator Warren continues to poll neck and neck with former Vice President Joe Biden and pass him in some polls, you can expect to see other candidates look to strike a contrast with her, including in split-screen moments in future presidential debates.
If you want even more analysis, we've got some moments that stood out, as well as a piece on various candidates and their fundraising totals up on our website. Now, a few more headlines. Hong Kong's chief executive Carrie Lam was forced to abort her planned annual address twice after protesters derailed the speech. It was meant to be her first policy address since protests began 4 months ago. Here's a brief snippet of what it sounded like. Ms. Lam eventually gave her speech via video. She focused on making housing more affordable in one of the world's most expensive cities. And China's promise to buy more U.S. farm products is at the center of the trade truce struck by Washington and Beijing last week. But we're reporting that questions remain over how much China is going to buy, over the time frame, and over what they'll get in exchange. Here's Chow Deng with more.
The biggest problem is that Beijing hasn't revealed many details to the public. It hasn't confirmed Trump's $40 billion to $50 billion U.S. dollar figure. And there's just a lot of doubt about what China actually agreed to and expects.
American and Chinese officials are set to continue discussions by phone over the next few weeks. The goal? To get a partial deal that could be signed by President Trump and China's President Xi Jinping, possibly at a summit next month. Now, our main story this morning. We're reporting that three big drug distributors are in talks to pay $18 billion to settle charges that they helped fuel the opioid epidemic. The companies, McKesson, AmerisourceBergen, and Cardinal Health, are still in negotiations. But if a deal is finalized, the settlement would be the first to achieve a broad resolution of the opioid lawsuits outside of bankruptcy. Charlie Turner has been finding out more from Sarah Randazzo.
Sarah, what are the terms of the settlement as far as what you've been told?
Yeah, so it's still a proposed deal at this point, but the idea would be that the three big drug distributors would pay $18 billion over a span of 18 years to resolve all of this opioid litigation.
And this is just the latest development involving opioid litigation. There have been more than 2,000 lawsuits so far, haven't there?
That's right. Yeah, there's been tons of moving parts. There's been trials underway, another trial scheduled to take place Monday. settlement talks in various camps. So yeah, it's been a whole lot to keep track of.
Including, I guess, a bankruptcy settlement involving Purdue Pharma.
Yeah, in the face of the 2,500 lawsuits that Purdue faced, they filed for bankruptcy to try to implement a deal that way. So that's been how they've tried to get out of it. These companies, the big distributors, are much more financially solvent. So bankruptcy isn't really on the table for them.
What exactly do these lawsuits seek? Does it involve compensating communities for the costs of the opioid crisis?
That's right. Yeah. Ultimately, what the communities are looking for is money. You know, they would like to solve the opioid crisis. And so things like the donation of drugs or other non-monetary contributions that could help them treat opioid addiction are also welcome. But ultimately, I think it comes down to getting as much money as possible so that the communities can then try to use that to put into programs to help treat people who are already addicted, stem further addiction, bolster, foster programs, things like that, that have been impacted by the opioid crisis.
And hundreds of thousands of people have died over the past 20 years from overdoses of legal and illegal opioids. Isn't there government data on this?
Yeah. So the latest federal data shows that at least 400,000 people have died since 1999. And that is from both prescription painkillers and illegal opioids like heroin and fentanyl.
Aren't McKesson, AmerisourceBergen, and Cardinal Health expected to go to trial over these suits next week?
That's right. Yeah, they were in court for a final pretrial hearing. Monday, there's a trial that's supposed to take place in Cleveland. Whether these talks can get finalized in time to stop that, it remains to be seen. But if not, there is a trial that's starting on Monday.
Could this agreement still fall apart? Don't all the parties have to still reach a final agreement?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And there's so many people on the plaintiff's side or so many entities in terms of all the different state attorneys general and the local government entities that it definitely is not a done deal yet.
A spokesperson for Cardinal Health declined to comment. AmerisourceBergen also declined to comment, and McKesson didn't respond to requests for comment. You can find our full coverage of all of the various opioid lawsuits and prospective settlements up on WSJ.com. On to markets. We're going to return to last night's Democratic debate. That's because one aspect of the debate has been of interest to investors, healthcare. Although the sector saw a brief respite yesterday after better-than-expected earnings from Johnson & Johnson and United Healthcare, it's been battered this year. That's because investors view Elizabeth Warren's healthcare plans as potentially devastating to the sector. Avantika Chalkati breaks it all down.
So healthcare stocks have been among the worst performing sectors in the S&P 500 this year. And that's pretty unusual because normally when investors are expecting the economy to slow down, healthcare does well. But what's actually turning them away is expectations of policy, government policy around healthcare. When it comes to funds, we've seen huge outflows from healthcare funds all year. The one group of investors who are piling in actually at the moment are hedge funds. They've picked up the fact that these stocks now look cheap. They've picked up the fact that we don't know what's going to happen in 2020. And actually that all just remains to be seen in the coming debates.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. Could we finally be close to a Brexit deal? From London, Stephen Fidler has more.
Well, talks are still going on now on Wednesday morning. They went late into last night. They certainly seem to be approaching a deal. But the problem very much at the moment seems to be British politics. So is there a deal that will satisfy the European Union? There probably is. But is it one that will also satisfy lawmakers in the House of Commons? Theresa May, Boris Johnson's predecessor, got a deal and it failed by 58 votes on the last count. So 30 lawmakers basically need to go into the opposite camp for Boris Johnson's deal to pass. At the moment, that looks like a real challenge. I would say the betting at this moment is these talks go on till the end of the week, past the EU summit, on Thursday and Friday, and maybe we have another summit before the end of the month and the October 31st Brexit deadline.
We'll have the latest in our afternoon edition. Finally, the experience of a long-distance flight in economy hasn't been the most comfortable experience for some time now, but that could be about to change. Here's our middle seat columnist, Scott McCartney, with more.
On November 5th, Delta is launching a complete overhaul of its meal service in coach on international flights, on long flights, flights over 6.5 hours. It's a big change. It's bringing a lot of things you get in business class down to coach, hot towels, printed menus, choice of appetizers. And I think it really will make a difference to a lot of travelers.
Scott says part of the reason Delta can do this is simple. It has an advantage.
When you have an advantage in the airline business, there's higher demand for your tickets. And when there's higher demand for your tickets, you can get a higher price. And we see that. Last year, Delta's earnings actually were higher than American and United combined. So they're earning more, they're investing more in their customers, and now they're taking this even more throughout coach.
So a bit of good news, especially if you have a long-haul flight coming up to start your Wednesday. That's what's news from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.